This podcast is sponsored by PICC, Florida's leading public adjusters for 22 years of handling residential commercial claims in Florida. Dealing with an insurance company when having a property loss can be discouraging. Let PICC encourage you and maximize your compensation. Please call us at 305-956-3666.
I have the pleasure of having Doda Rivka, a.k.a. Rivka Goldstein, in the house. I'm so happy to have you. Rivka happens to be one of my neighbors. And reading your book, Living with Meaning and Purpose, has just really, really changed my, so many amazing things about the book. And I want you to, first of all, thank you for coming here. We've just started these live podcasts. I know you're a relationship coach, you're a marriage coach, you're a dating coach, and we happen to live in the same neighborhood. And we share a lot of common people. We know each other. So I said, you know what? I have to have you on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. So please tell us a little bit of how you got here and how you got to this journey.
First of all, thank you, Gedalia, for having me. So I was born in Singapore, in a multicultural, multi-religious country. And it was a long journey coming to Yiddishkeit. Baruch Hashem, Todala Hashem. I cannot imagine living life without Torah wisdom. So when I was 40, I was pregnant with my first child. And I realized that I needed to leave him with a legacy. I needed to leave him with something that would guide him through life, because my husband and I are both, we're not young, we're not spring chicken. So we wanted to make sure, and there was no support on either side of my family. There was no Torah, Babi or Zaidi, Saba or Safta to guide us. Right. And I was davening to Hashem. I said, who is going to help me raise this child? I need help raising him. And it began my journey into Hasidus. And in Hasidus, I found all the answers that I was looking for, that I didn't find when I was even, 8 years in higher education. I graduated from Harvard with a degree in theology. And then party like a rock star for 10 years almost, undergrad and graduate. Wow. So, and after that, I said, you know, there has to be more to life. I began my journey with New Age spirituality. And I look, you know, everywhere for the meaning of life. But again, I found it with Hasidus.
Wow.
And this book, Creating a Life That Matters, began as a love letter for my son. It was meant to teach him everything that I wish I knew going through the journey of life. Hmm. For example, the difference between living and existing. What does Judaism say about dating, marriage, and the difference between sex and intimacy, Parenting? These are all important things that I wish I knew. I put them all in a book, and I wanted to call it the Life Manual. And my husband calls it a reference book. And by the way, a shout out to my husband. He's the one that put, you know, he was responsible for making it into a book, which is a tzedakah project for us. And without him, this book would not have been born. Even though I wrote it, he was the one that took it to the next level. So thank you, Binyamin.
Wow, amazing. Amazing story. So being connected to Buddhism and all that, and you found that Hasidus had more to offer. What do you see was the difference?
So as an example, you know that, let's go straight to the heart of the matter.
Right.
What is one of the main things that I want my son to know? He's a Scorpio just like you.
Wow. And you're a Cancer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So one of the things that I wanted him to know is the difference between sex and intimacy. What is the difference between sex and intimacy? Sex is personal.
Right.
Intimacy is interpersonal. What you do personally is your business, because sex is about a body taking pleasure from another body. And any form of taking is abused. Intimacy It's about two people becoming one, bonding and becoming one. Now, using food as a metaphor for sex, we know that we live in a fast food junk nation. When we accustom ourselves to junk food, it ruins our appetite for a wholesome meal.
I love that analogy.
And when we look to satisfy our taste bud, then we lose the ability to appreciate a wholesome nutritional meal. So it's highly important that we know the difference. What happens today is that people want it fast, and they want it the way that they envision it. And by the way, Hollywood has done a major disservice to us, teaching us, you know, if you are getting your sex education from Cosmo or from the movies or even social media, we are misguided at best. So I wanted to show my son, I wanted to teach him the difference between the two. And like my rabbi says, Rabbi Manis Friedman, he says that people come to him and say, you know, why do I need a rabbi to teach me about sex?
Right.
You know, if the birds, and he says, if the birds and the bees can figure it out, you can figure it out.
Right.
But if what you are after is intimacy, then you're going to need a little guidance. Because two people who have experienced intimacy become inseparable. Because what happens is that in intimacy, you become like God. Hashem Echad. Two people become one. And that is the ultimate holiness. And when you reach that state, you go back to your primordial state of creation. Hashem creates the world in four different levels. We have the minerals, the inorganic, the vegetable, and then the animals and the human levels. And our goal is always to reach above the human level. When we go down and ask, say, for example, a potato chip or a chocolate, the vegetable right. level to give us pleasure, we feel a tad diminished. So even in intimacy, if we act like animals, we feel a little diminished. We're never meant to stay on even the human level. We are to reach above the human level. And this is why, you know, when we hear stories about people that are superhuman, you know, those right. inspirational superhuman story, we're so inspired. And the reason why we're so inspired is because that's our destiny. We are supposed to go above the human level to the godly level. And Baruch Hashem, Todala Hashem, Hashem gave us Jews this amazing privilege and responsibilities. We know these facts. We know these truth. We're supposed to take everything below us and bring it up. And this is why we make a blessing when we eat. We make a blessing when we, you know, for everything, before and after. There's a blessing for just about everything. Why? Because we raise the sparks. And likewise in intimacy, when two people get together, you are to melt into one and reach the state of godliness. And when you reach the state of godliness, you become inseparable.
So would you say like the main thing is obviously in Judaism, Hasidus, elevation versus just staying away from it?
Yes.
Is that that's like the big thing that I've seen pretty much. We have to elevate things. You can eat, you can have sex, you get relations, but it has to be elevated versus just avoiding it or just trying to be holy. We have to be in this physical world, but elevated.
Which bring us right. to our purpose, right? Right? So we know that as Jews, we are here to create a godly world that is comfortable for Hashem, that makes a dwelling place for Hashem. And how do we do that? It's exactly that. We take everything that is ugly
right.
and we elevate it. And that's the purpose. And that's one of my message for my son. You know, we are not here for our purpose. We're not needy. We are needed.
Beautiful. I love that.
You know, we are here for a purpose, for a reason, and that purpose is always godly purposes. And we look at what happens today in the culture of I and me and mine.
Right.
We are so paralyzed by that thinking that everything is about me, everything is about mine and what I need. We have to get better than that.
So where does a person start? Where would a person start? Yeah, I understand you're a dating coach, correct? I know there's a lot of people that I know, we know each other, and they've gotten you for dating. I've also been approached as dating and you know, give people advice. And definitely the areas of intimacy is the area that I start at. Because if the relationship with intimacy is to get instead of to bond, and it's premature, I think this is exactly one of the problems that happened with Adam and Eve. They had relations before Shabbat. They were supposed to have it on Shabbat. They had it on Friday, and that caused the destruction of the sparks and et cetera. So this is an area that Rabbi Nachman definitely taught me that your connection spiritually is very connected to your connection sexually. Or intimacy, obviously.
So let's.
Where do you start? Where would you start? Person comes to you. Do you acknowledge the issues? Where would you start with them?
So I have two groups of clients. One that is more that born with more frum, more religious background, and then there's another group that are Baruch Hashem. We see more and more Balei Tshuva.
Right.
More and more young people are looking Baruch Hashem, thank God, into Yiddishkeit to see, you know, what do our sages have to say about dating. You know, we have tried everything, you know, we think that we figure it out, but then now we realize that, oh, you know, we cannot fool with Mother Nature. We cannot take things, you know, something like this lightly. And so people are coming and seeking wisdom, which is beautiful.
Right.
So what do our sages say about dating? The first thing that we need to know about dating is dating has to be a very neutral activity. You don't get all emotionally entangled until the decision is taken out of your hands. You're supposed to date with just your head, essentially. Most people, when they're dating, give of themselves unreservedly. They give of themselves fully. And then, when they're dating, and then when they're married, they withhold. They do the opposite. Right.
It's incredible. Wow.
Right? It should be that when you're dating, you have to be completely selfish. When you are married, you have to be completely selfless. But we switched it. When we're dating, we say, you know, take my time, take my money, take my energy, take my space, take everything. And then when we're married, we say, why are you looking at my tacos? That's my tacos. You know? So we switched it. When we get married, we have to remember that switch has to happen. Hmm. When you go on a date, you're not there to impress someone. You're not there to, you know, you don't have to put up a show.
Right.
You know, you don't have to care about what that person like you or not. That person is a perfect stranger until they're not. When you're dating, it should be that, you know, we're there to check each other out. We're there to find out whether or not you are my bachette. We're there to find out whether or not we belong together. Because we know from Torah that Hashem is the one that picked our spouse. And there are many different levels to our souls. And so everybody that you go under the kupa, even your second or third marriage, is still a, you know, part of your spiritual DNA. So when you go out on a date, you should be looking to say, are you the one that Hashem has chosen for me?
Which could also sometimes be somebody that can make you grow, not necessarily a glove.
All relationships make you grow.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm saying, I think the confusion is are we looking for like the lost slipper, or are we looking for somebody to basically break our walls and to grow with?
So another thing that the mistakes that we all make is that we think that we have to marry for love, right? We hear this. Love conquers all. Love will see us through. Right. You know, all we need is love. It's not true. Love should come only after the marriage. Like romance, all the romance that happened before marriage is really the thrill of the conquer, the chase. It's not true love and it's not true romance.
So there's a difference between infatuation and love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what is it about love? And Rabbi Freeman nails this beautifully. He says that, I mean, you look at marriages for the last 50 years, just about every marriage, you know, happens because of love. Are we any better? No. What is a better word than love? A better word than love, a more important ingredient, is belonging, consideration, respect. Two people that love each other may not be together forever, but two people that respect each other, that's considerate of each other, can be together forever. And that's really the key that nobody taught us. Nobody taught us that, right? Nobody taught us that respect is more important, consideration is more important than love, kindness is more important than love in a relationship. Nobody taught us that. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, you know. Our sages have been telling us, we're just not listening.
Correct, yeah. We have it better. We think we know better.
Yeah, we think we know better. We have to go figure it out.
Right.
And then when we bump our heads, you know, on the wall a few times,
right,
we end up writing a book about it. You know, so the purpose of this book in some ways is that I want to save my son from that, that he shouldn't have to bump his head on the wall that many times. You know, he doesn't have to be bruised in his relationship. Bezras Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
How much do you think, I mean, as far as dating, I mean, I suggest always improve your self-esteem. I mean, that's the most important, because just like this, in order to respect somebody, you have to respect yourself. In order to consider somebody, you have to make space for yourself. How important is the, do you ever tell clients, hey, don't date, work on yourself, and then consider dating?
Well, absolutely. I think that's an important part, but working on yourself has a flaw, has a, you know, in it. And let me explain it. You see these people that go to the gym.
Yes.
And they work out and they work out and they don't know when to stop. Right?
I see.
And working on yourself, there's value, there's important self-awareness, you know, discovery. But what is the inflow? What is the flaw in? The flaw is the word self. You know, we're too much absorbed in the self. We need to move away from the self. We need to move away from the self and focus on another and say, what do you need of me? What is it that you need from me? That is a much higher aspiration. So yes, you spend some time in self-improvement. Yes, you want some self-awareness. When people say self-awareness, they're really talking about making peace with their first family. You know, I think we all need to make peace with our first family before we can move on to the next family. So when we talk about self-improvement, we're really saying, you know, I have something in my history that needs to be looked at. I need something that I need to, you know, I need to discover. And then, from that place, your goal always has to be going outside of yourself. Self-transcendence. Self-transcendence has to be your goal because you don't want to be caught up too much and too long with yourself. So my job as a dating coach is that I hold up a metaphysical mirror to you, and I show you a picture of you that you may be uncomfortable with, but I'm showing you the perfection in your imperfections. And I want you to look at yourself and say, look, okay, you may be damaged. Okay, your parents may have messed you up. Okay, you know, whatever
it is. What else is new?
Yeah, yes.
What else is new? Everybody's got a story, right?
Right. And And Hasidus says, take that from that place of that of brokenness, from the place of brokenness, fulfill your purpose, because nice. Because that's where Hashem can work with you when you are empty in some ways. When you are vulnerable, when you surrender, and we only surrender when we are broken. When we say, "Oh my goodness, Hashem, I need help."
Beautiful. When do you? A common question that the guys that come up to, they tell me, "Listen, there's a concept of Hasidus that speaks about that. You know, when you first meet somebody, you do get that spark, and then little by little, it goes away." And our job is to really gather that spark back. I mean, this is very similar to the story about, we got the spark in Passover, and then it went away, and now we're trying to get the spark back on Shavuot. So this is where I see that people have no patience lately, and they right away, a couple good dates, everything's going great, and it goes from great to nothing and so fast. How do you explain this to you? And I see this, the people don't seem to know how to ride the highs and lows very well. In relationships.
Right. We live in a culture of instant gratification. I get that. I understand that. So now let's say in a marriage with love, for example, right? Love by virtue is an emotion. By definition, rather, is an emotion. An emotion is a Latin word for, energy moving.
Right.
It's always moving. It's not stable. Love is up, is down, is sideways. One day I'm here, one day I'm there. It's never stable.
I like that example. Beautiful.
So we cannot base our relationship on love. Then again, it brings us back to that whole respect, knowing that, we belong together. And that's more powerful than love. We are home to each other. So if you know that, then you wake up in the morning, some days the love is not there, but you say, so what? As long as we continue to respect each other, as long as we continue to be considerate of each other, the love will surface again. So we're never caught up with love. We're never saying, oh my goodness, someday we feel it, some days we don't feel it. We're not intimidated
by that.
It's
just a feeling. At the end of the day, it's just a feeling.
It's a feeling, yeah. We're much higher than that. We have a common goal. We have a higher goal. We're not intimidated when we don't feel the love.
Right.
And with a man who sometimes guys ask the questions like, how do I know when I'm ready for marriage?
Right.
If you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, oh, it's you again. You're ready to get married. When you look at yourself and you say, when you can go outside of yourself,
right.
When you can be magnanimous with your time, with your space, with your love, with your energy, with your words, with your money, when you can be when you can be a giver, when you can be the mashpiach. And while we're on that note of mashpiach, what is wrong with pornography?
Right. Your receiver. You're only a receiver, not a giver.
When you are watching pornography, you become a makabo. You're not a mashpiach.
Correct. Explain the difference in case we have a lot of audience.
Okay,
receiver and a giver.
A mashpiach is a giver. It's a man's birthright. A man comes into this world and he's fully masculine when he's a giver. He's fully in touch with his masculinity when he's a giver. A woman is when she's a makabo, when she receives fully. And this is true in every aspect of a relationship, in the intimate life, in emotionally, mentally, in every way. A man has to be a mashpiach.
Right.
A woman has to be a makabo. When a man watches pornography, he thinks that he's powerful, he's all powerful. But the truth is, he's become a makabel. He becomes a receiver.
Which is a moon.
Right. And that emasculates him.
Got it.
And when he becomes addicted to that, he does not know how to become a mashpiach. And that's going to ruin his relationship.
Wow.
And really, that's the reason why. And it's not just because of, what we think it is. But the truth is, it's a lot deeper than that.
Society.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it not only do you have that, but you have shame and then you start questioning yourself. This is definitely the number one issue that I work on with guys, taking that responsibility. When the Torah says that when a person takes responsibility to have relations with his wife, to provide, that allows him to draw malchut, which is kingship. That allows him to have financial prosperity. But you have to be the CEO of the house. You have to be the one taking the light. You have to be the son.
Right. So if there's one message about that is that, you know, Torah, halakha and Torah laws, they are never meant to restrict us, to make life difficult.
Correct.
It's the complete opposite. It's like the fences around a trampoline. When there's a fence,
amazing,
you can jump higher. You can have more fun. You can let yourself go. So Torah, you know, so this is something that, you know, that we are discovering, young people, I'm saying, you know, that Torah enhance your life in every aspect, even your love life.
But many people have, unfortunately, if they have the wrong experience, you know, unfortunately, they get the wrong, people go without the emotion, without the chassidus, without the life force, and Torah becomes an instruction. You know, and that's where I'm here to basically change the language of it, you know, really bring it back.
Dalia, you're doing a good job.
We're trying to, because I just think it's the language is off. I think, you know, many people are, you know, they go to Friday night, they check in to check out. This is, I mean, all this modern psychology that I'm reading, there's nothing new that we don't have in our books.
You know, psychology is an unperfected modern science. As Jews, we should go to the time-tested wisdom of Torah. And from there, we have all the answers to life. And for that alone, because, you know, as you think about it, we are asked to be the light unto the nations.
Correct.
But how do we be light unto the nations if we don't dig deep into the Torah and tells us what the Torah tells us about life? So it's a worthy endeavor, and we should all do that.
But I'm, you know, going to Harvard and you know, studying theology and recognizing that you didn't know anything at the end of the day, and that's what made you, the humility made you to be able to receive. Because a lot of people they can't get to that point to recognize, oh my God, I have to start over. I mean, that was pretty brave to be able to do that at that stage in your life. It's not like you're going to community college. You're going to Harvard. You figure you're on top of your game, and to be able to break down, to come to realize I know nothing.
Right.
It's very inspiring.
Right. Thank you. And so what happens is that, you know, I studied comparative religion. I came from a country that is multi-religious, as I said before. And, you know, and I taught world religion, world religious traditions.
And you taught it too. Wow.
I taught it too in a college level.
Amazing.
And it brought me to a place where Torah MS. When I came to Torah, I realized immediately that this is the original. This is
home.
The OG of religion. Wow. You know, and by the way, Yiddishkeit, Judaism is not a religion.
Right.
And we should make it very clear about this. And the proof of it is this. Think about this. You know, today we have the ability to do this DNA test. Nobody is born a Buddhist or Christian. Nobody. There's no DNA test that come back and say 98% Buddhist or 48% Christian. There's none of that. All of religion is man-made. Because in the original Hebrew language, there is no word for religion.
Wow.
But you can do a DNA test and it'll come back 99% Ashkenazi. So what does that tell us? That tell us that there is something unique, special, and about being Jewish. And that if you don't know it, the world's going to remind you. The world's going to remind you that you're born Jewish for a reason. There's a purpose. You are here to be the priestly nation. You are here to tell the world what God needs from us. And what does God need from us? Again, it's in the secret is in the Hebrew word, right? In Hebrew language. The word Ahava and Echad, numerical 13.
Right.
And what came into this world with the 12 constellations. You know, we came into this world with different influences. We came into this world, let's just say, for example, someone who is born in the month of Tammuz, is Cancer. So your inclination is that you're oversensitive,
right,
and you're a little emotional.
Snappy.
and a little snappy. Did you just add that?
Crabby.
Crabby. Nice. And how do you go above your natural tendency? Torah tells us it's in Echad. It's in the number 13, one above 12.
Beautiful. Wow.
And so our job is to take everything that is below the level of the 12 and bring it to Echad, to Hashem Echad, to one, to unity, because unity is holiness, is holy, and that's our destiny.
It's funny, 13 is actually the 13 attributes of mercy.
That's
it's
right.
13. Everything, the concept of 13 is it's the higher mercy.
Right. So in a marriage, we can use, we're asked to become like God. And that's a very good, you know, that's a good blueprint to use. In your marriage, are you kind? Are you compassionate? Are you slow to anger? Quick to forgive? You know, so these are so all true. The 13 attributes that when we're asked to be like Hashem, Hashem says, you know, I give you a model on how to be married, how to love one another, how to have peace.
Yeah, Tomer Devorah has definitely been a game changer for me, the book Tomer Devorah, mm-hmm. How to emulate God and basically look at every opportunity to emulate God. And I had a friend of mine, he actually gave me a 400-year-old version of Tomer Devorah. That, I mean, I think Tomer Devorah, the highest mercy, because everything at today is, all problems are in judgment and lacking, not seeing the good in people. That's where all the, at the end of the day, if you look at the basis, is if we had this concept of 13, we would be above the 12, we'd be above the stars. The same concept of 7 and 8, right? 7 days of the week, eight is above. So that's really our goal, is to be really, really above the 7 and 12. It's to rise above. Beautiful, beautiful concept. So how did somebody reach you as far as dating? Are you taking clients? Are you?
Yes, they can go to my website. Yes, men and women. My website is askdodarivka.com. Dodar means aunt. So I like to be an aunt. You know, when I started my coaching career, I was an aunt, but now I'm a little grandma. So it should be Safta. Wow. But the truth is, yep, that's my website, askdodarivka.com. You can find me there.
Beautiful.
And and together.
What kind of practical, what practical tools do you give people? What are some practical things that you have? For example, I have people do Hizbo Nedut. I have people do Tikkun HaKlali. What practical tools do you give some of these girls that to get secular, non-secular? What's the practicality in it?
So obviously Torah tells us, and this is, by the way, what is so beautiful about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is simplifies life for you. I tell my son, if it's a mitzvah, do it. If it's not, skip it.
Right.
You know, every second of every minute, there is a mitzvah before you. And if you know that it's a mitzvah and you do it, that's it. You simplify your life. You don't have to overthink. You don't have to search. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to go through all that chaotic, you know. Right. Searching, you just have to just know, what does Hashem expects from me this second and this minute? And you look at the 9 people that are in your life, in your office, let's say, and you know, and the 10 people that are in your family or whatever, however many people, and you look at them and you say, what does this person need from me? And that's it.
It's so funny that, you know, it comes down to that simple. You know, many people, it's a tendency for us, when we make a mistake, we punish ourselves. This is a sin of Adam, obviously. You know, he made a mistake, he hid. But our sages tell us, depart from evil and do good. You make a mistake, go do something good. Just change the momentum.
Right.
And it's so simple.
Yeah.
But somehow we end up in all forms of addictions and depressions. And all we have to do is just change the momentum. Like, what do you keep on going backwards? You know, change the momentum. And that's it's so refreshing. I think what Reb Nachman and Chabad, it's the freshness, the refreshness, and the lack of heaviness. And Reb Nachman said that, I'm going to make you live light in a very heavy world. And that was like exactly what we needed.
And Hasidus says that, you know, we didn't create this world. We didn't start the fire. You know, we're here to fix the world. You know, people think that human destroy the world. No, the world was created that way. Hashem says, look, I put you in the lowest of the lowest world. What happens, as you say, in Adam and Chava? Adam and Chava was brought down from the paradise. It was a different realm. Right. And when they left, they came down to the lowest of the lowest world. And that's where Hashem said, that this is where your avodah is. This is where you're supposed to be. And this is where I need you.
So you're practically, you're basically, your dating is more about education. Educating them, changing the perspective, going to dates completely different with a different mindset, with a higher consciousness.
Right, absolutely. And that, and helping someone make peace with their first family, helping them make peace with who they are. Yeah. And you know, so that's I think that that's the most important thing. And then from that place, when they start dating, I coach them date to date.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah. Yes.
I like that. The play-by-play.
Play-by-play. And frequently I play a shotgun as well. And what does that mean? So our sages tell us that using a shotgun is sometimes indispensable. Why? Yeah. Because your shotgun is the one that is your go-between. And in the past, shotgun are just matchmaker. Today, shotguns are also play the role of a dating coach and dating facilitator.
If it's the right one, sure.
Right. Not all shotgun dating coach, but some do. And what is the purpose of that? Is that, again, when you're going out to date, you are going out to see whether this person is your bashet. And sometimes it takes a few dates. But when it doesn't work out, the shotgun is the one that breaks it up.
Oh, really? Wow.
You shouldn't have to be the one to do that, to do it, because dating via a shotgun is a very dignified endeavor, because you don't ever have to be so entangled that you have to break something up. You know, you shouldn't be so emotionally entangled to a point where, you know, when there is a when you know, you see frequently when the relationship doesn't work out, people get so devastated. Yeah. And it's like losing a limb. It's like amputation. Wow. You know? So when you use a shotgun, you never have to break things up. Your shotgun is the one that does it for you. And you can say it's a little cold, but no, the other way is worse. You know? You know, there's all these jokes about how people break up through a text or
there's
post-it.
A lot of cold ghosting. There seems to be people are in deep emotional pain when people don't call back, when... There's a void there, like an emotional void of blaming themselves because the other person didn't call back. And I think that's...
So Jewish dating eliminates all of that. Jewish dating says, you know, there's a better way. And our sages has perfected the system and said, this is the way to date.
Beautiful.
Yes. And also, you know, even with using a shotgun is that...
Cools the physicality too. I mean, there's, you know...
Yes.
That usually is the issue a lot also.
So like even you don't propose to a girl until your shotgun say now is the time. Why? Because you should never have to be humiliated. You know, you propose to her like at a stadium and she said no. You know, it doesn't happen like that. So if you meet somebody, the first thing you want to know is that if they are committed to marriage, not because if they like you.
Right?
When you go on a date, you want to determine whether or not this person is committed to marriage and if he or she wants to be married. Right. And if that person does not want that, you move on. Why?
Right.
Because, and you're not there to find out whether they like you or not, because how they feel about you is going to change, guaranteed. So they have to be committed to something higher, like a marriage. Marriage is something that's holy. It's marriage is something that will keep you together if you're done right. And by the way, people always say, you know, marriage is so difficult. Marriage is not difficult. Marriage is holy. People are difficult.
Difficult, exactly.
Difficult people will have difficult marriages.
Yeah.
Right. So if you meet somebody and you say, you know, I want to start dating the shotgun way, you call a shotgun and you say, look, I need a facilitator. I need a in-between. And
or even a facilitator, because sometimes shotgun looks a little bit, you know, like a
intimidating,
supervised.
Yeah.
And in between, the reputation is not the greatest on some of these situations, especially if the intention is just to cash in on the money. So it's really, this is a whole different ballgame. You know, their intention is to make the sale. Otherwise, they're not getting paid. So this is why, you know, it's you have to pray even that.
Right. But you know, today, You know, they say that putting a shidduch together is like splitting the
Red Sea.
Extremely
difficult.
So that's why Shah can't charge, because it's a lot of work for them to do that. So
I don't do it. I don't. People have offered me to. I can't. I don't
have the time or energy.
I said I think I'd rather swap people's noses for COVID. it was just brutal. I just don't have the patience for it. I can't. Thank God I hope I go to heaven. I've done my share.
You've done your fair share.
But it's just not, I'm a very determined person. You tell me what I want. We got married, me and my wife, 60 days. We were in and out. We got married. We knew it was gonna be a challenge. It's gonna be this, but I don't know, blah blah blah. It's just too much if and this and this. Anyway, people change. And second, you're gonna get the lesson on the way anyway. So what are you waiting in the sidelines for a perfect son to come out? It's not realistic.
Well, that's right, because you know you're saying essentially people say, you know, what if I don't, you know, this marriage is a monumental decision. If I don't test drive the car or live together, how would I know if that person is right? And you know, the truth is, you spend your whole life getting to know somebody, and there's always more to learn.
So true.
So you know,
I think I've changed 100%. My wife has changed 100%. I mean, I didn't ask for these to become a guest, to become a speaker, to become in this podcast. It was never part of my 10 years ago. My wife changed completely. I changed. So whatever decision was made back then on the facts of that time, it was just in trust and being able to become a giver.
Maruk
and seeing good points in people. So I really love your work, and I hope we can do a second interview. I think you're going to get a lot of response. So how do people reach you?
AskDodaRivka.com.
AskDodaRivka.com.
D-O-D-A, Dora.
We have such a beautiful community in Harbor Islands. I'm interviewing my rabbi next. And this is we just have very, very special community. And it's one thing about our community, thank God, there's a lot of unity. I see there's a lot of unity, a lot of high consciousness.
And you know, this is all credit to our rabbi and Rebbitzin, Rabbi Silverman and Hani. They're rock stars.
We have to give
him
a
rock star of a rabbi.
Yes, and he's going to be interviewed next, actually.
Bezras Hashem.
And I'm very excited, and I think you're going to get a lot. And I definitely want to do more. Just more. Your book is the book is great. There's so many topics. We could be here for hours talking.
Yes.
But I definitely want to introduce you to my people, and let them read the book, and let them little by little, if they're interested in having a facilitator. I think it's a great idea.
It's all in there. There's a chapter on dating called The Jungle of Dating.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in there on the comedy of marriage. There's a chapter in there on the difference between sex and intimacy. And one of my favorite chapters is the real American idol, the idols that we worship today. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the idols that we worship today? You know, you name them. You know, we're living in modern times where we are no longer worshiping a wood, you know, like a wooden statue. And instead, what do we worship? We worship love. We worship money. We worship fame, celebrityhood.
The real American idol. That's a great title.
Yeah, that is a great title.
That's a great title.
Yes.
Wow.
And so we worship all the things that are essentially below us. And idols are false god. And false god will always disappoint.
Wow.
Right? So again, you want to rise above the human level. So that's one of my favorite chapters. And what is the primary, the first idol worship that we all engage in, every single one of us? David HaMelech said, we have eyes, but we don't see, right? The idol, he described the idol. We have ears, but we don't hear. Who is he describing? He's describing the human condition. He's describing us. We have eyes, but we don't see. We have ears, but we don't hear. Because we are so... We self-worship, you know? And that's something that is so close to us. We're born with
like it. Like a presence.
We're born with that self-awareness. That's a strong sense of self-awareness that we don't know how to step out of it. You know, we look at today's society. We see that, you know, if you don't agree with me, that sense of self is so delicate and fragile. If you don't agree with me, you're out.
Canceled, yeah, sure.
You know, so that chapter talks about how do we step out of that,
beautiful.
You know? The way we do it is to focus on another.
Living with meaning.
Creating
a life that matters. And you wrote it with Manus Friedman, Rabbi Manus Friedman.
Yes, Rabbi Manus Friedman is
unbelievable.
The original, talk about the OG love guru.
OG, yeah.
He's the OG love guru. Everything I say is, you know, his wisdom. I'm really being his mouthpiece in some ways.
His language is really, he's really created the right language.
Yes.
You know, you hear a class of his, you're like, I never thought of it that way.
Yes, yes. He brings it down to the vernacular of today.
Really, really brings it down to the right language.
Yes, absolutely.
May you be blessed. What are you working on now? Just pretty much the coaching. Any more books on?
Well, I teach in the seminary. And yeah, so that's like my primary love.
Beautiful.
And but my coaching career is also very passionate. I look at everybody. Now, before I start any one of my phone calls or any one of my coaching, I said to Hashem, what does this person need to hear from me? From you, Hashem? What does this person need to hear?
Amazing.
So I go into a prayer and, you know, I always take a break between clients so that I can do that prayer and say, Hashem, what does this person need to hear? Make me your mouthpiece. Make me an instrument and channel. Use me as your channel.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Such a pleasure to have you. I hope to have you back and to do more and more sessions with
Gedalia,
you.
Gedalia, you should go from strength to
Amen.
Strength
Amen.
In all the Kiddush Hashem work that you do.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you again. Okay, good. Beautiful. Thank you so much. It was great.